You've never seen me like this before.
I've never seen you so flabbergasted.
I don't know that I've ever been this flabbergasted in my life by tech.
It's nice to know that you too struggle with tech from time to time.
Hello, and welcome to Talking Too Loud with Chris Savage, the show that's serving up the loudest takes on building businesses, top-notch products, and unforgettable brands. We're here, Sylvie. We're ready to rock. And I have to ask you the question, what's got you talking too loud?
What's got me talking too loud? A couple of things. So the first one I'll say, I started The Penguin.
Oh, the show. Max. Okay.
I went into it with zero expectations. I liked Colin Farrell's performance in the movie for Batman. And yeah, went into it with zero expectations. Blown away.
Really?
Blown away. I feel like it got the production value right, but it also got the writing right. And I feel like often the two shall not meet. It's like really high production value and shit writing.
It's very hard to get it all to connect. Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
This was like, it was beautifully shot. The set looks amazing. Colin Farrell is amazing. The script is good. The script is good. So I'm here to say,
watch The Penguin. Nice.
Watch it. Enjoy it.
Awesome.
What about you?
You know, we just did this like 3 days of planning in person, which we call our triennial business review. And I mean, for me, it's that. It was just like so much fun. And
you love it in person.
I love it in person. And I also think that we undervalue that work should be fun when it's like high trust and you're working on hard things. And so it's interesting because I noticed we've been doing these for a couple of years now. And this one, there's like people felt more permission to like poke fun at each other and make jokes like while the work is happening. And it was kind of like, you know, it's happened before, but watching it occur, I'm like, oh, this is a signal of trust. That's what this is, really. And like excitement about the things that we're working on and excitement about the things that are out there. And it's just like really honest, really direct, really great conversations, made a lot of decisions, a lot of new stuff coming to Wistia, a lot of things we're going to be fixing and improving in Wistia. And yeah, it was just like, it was like a high. It was just like boom, 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 boom every day. So it was a delight.
That's awesome, because I feel like people can sense when it's like forced fun, when you're like, we're all here and we're doing trust falls.
Yeah.
And that's annoying and nobody wants that. But like to really build a team that knows each other, that kind of feeds off of each other, that's an incredible feat. And
it
and
is
then,
funny.
And then you have real fun.
Oh, but it's also like it's a trope what you're talking about, like the trust fall thing. I don't know if anyone does trust falls anymore. That's just
I'm sure they do.
On The Office. I don't know. But the thing that was funny with this is we were celebrating something and they got a pinata. And so like actually they got three. We hung one up and we're like, these are too nice to hang. So we'll just keep them, right? It's the first
idea.
They're
too beautiful.
And so everyone's like, oh, we're going to hit the pinata. And Brendan and I are on mics and we're like, oh, look at all this corporate fun. We're having corporate fun. And I think it's funny to say that.
Yeah.
And then one of the pinatas that was this huge Wistia pinata, they're like, maybe we could hang around the office. I'm like, yeah, or we could give it to this employee as a gift. And they can have to take it back on a plane. And I think that's funnier. And so that's what we did. And it was just like
fly with this pinata.
Yes. Yes. But like the idea of someone winning a pinata they have to fly with as corporate fun was so silly and so funny.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Would TSA flag it? Like if it was going through the...
Well, you know, the funny thing is...
They can see what's in there.
It was full of candy and lotto tickets and a bunch of other stuff. So I don't know if he emptied it out. I don't know if he took it. I had to go to...
Wait, that would be even better if TSA was like, sorry, we got to bust this open. Oh my God. Corporate fun.
Corporate fun. Sometimes you got to corporate fun. Corporate fun.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Now I want a pinata and candy. It's almost my birthday, so I'm talking too loud about that.
It's also almost my birthday. Our birthday's
very
close. I know,
we're both Libras.
Yes. Yeah, let's go. Libra town.
Scales of justice.
Did you see that thing about... Oh, God. This is such a bad... Did you see that thing? It was basically like... I saw someone some analysis on like the zodiac signs and like if there's any correlation whatsoever. It was like absolute zero correlation whatsoever. But I can't show you the study, so I can't really say anything.
This
is like telling a story. This one time I heard about this thing from somebody who's not an expert.
Yep.
Do you agree?
You just did all that.
I sure did. Yep.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking about that's got me talking too loud is growing a podcast, growing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming off of Inbound, which is HubSpot's huge tech conference. We did a ton of in-person interviews. We did a live episode with you and Brendan all about going from point solution to platform. All of these things are going to be released on our feed. Very excited for people to be brought in. But we had a few chats with content creators, and some of them were talking about how they built an audience and how they grew their audience. And I was just thinking, like, I came from the nonprofit world, and I think it's rare to find, sorry to all the nonprofits out there, it's rare to find like very growth minded people at nonprofits, maybe, unless they're on the development team is kind of what I'm thinking. So I don't have that mindset. And coming into production and creative, I feel like I kind of brought the maintain mindset. And now I'm being thwarted against my will. No, I love it. Into a growth mindset. And it's hard and uncomfortable. And so I don't know, what is your advice for someone who's maybe like going from a non-growth mindset into a growth mindset?
Wow, what a question. First of all, I think you really have been getting into a growth mindset. So
I'm really trying.
I have noticed a big difference.
I'm really trying.
And I think it's paying off. And I do have like kind of a rant actually on nonprofits, which is like, you know, nonprofits are evaluated on their efficiency and the dollar given to how many are like go to the cause. And personally, I don't think that makes sense, because like we should be more comfortable with the idea that like you give a dollar and you think you want 98% of it to go to the cause. But what if like 80% of it went to the cause, but in general, there was way more money going through the nonprofit and many more people impacted? And I just personally think that I don't like that framework, because it also means like, hey, what if you have to pay people a lot because they're really talented and they have a growth mindset? Should they not do this work, or should they do it? Like, to me, it just seems like you should be able to pay people a lot, and you should be excited to give to an organization that basically has a bigger, that's my whole other rant. That's the first thing.
Is it interesting, Rand? I'm nodding.
Okay, so back to the question. I think a growth mindset is interesting because it's the opposite of what we are often taught in school. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like, you know, what's rewarded in a traditional educational environment is you get A's, right? You get a grade. If you're always getting A's, you're doing a good job. And there is a correct answer.
Okay.
Right.
Very true.
And a lot of the growth mindset stuff, you don't know what the answer is. Nobody does.
And that's a good thing. Like, that should be
and
celebrated.
What that means is in the quest for that answer, you're going to fail. Like, you're going to have stuff go wrong. You're going to get F's. You're used to getting A's all the time. You might get F's 20 times in a row. But when you get an A, you can tell, because numbers really move, things really change, customers talk in a really different way. And you might be doing something that no one's done before. You yourself might be doing something you've never done before. And so it's uncomfortable. But then suddenly your world is reframed once you've done the thing.
That's super interesting. Like in life too, I'm just thinking about, anytime you do something that's like outside of your comfort zone and you flop.
Yeah.
And then you do it again and maybe it's a little better. Then you do it again and you find
maybe it's worse.
Meaning, or maybe it's worse, right?
I mean, that's, I think you have to look, it's like you try something, doesn't go, you try it again, it goes worse. Try it again, it goes even worse. Now you're down on yourself.
Right.
Should you try it again? And I think, you know, it's funny. So my older daughter, Zoe, is 9. Mm-hmm. While we were gone at Inbound, she started talking about doing a string instrument, because there's a string instrument thing at school. And then this week I'm at Tabor and I come back and she's like, guess what, Dad? I'm going to play the bass.
That is okay. So rock and roll.
So like upright bass.
Whoa. Chillo. Okay. It's a bass.
Chillo. And so she's so excited about this. She's ready to go. And it brings me back to my youth. And Zan, my wife, was like, did you ever play another instrument when you were a kid? I was like, yeah, I played saxophone. For how long? It's like 3 months. And what happened? And I remember getting the saxophone, them telling me to practice. I'm practicing. I don't feel like I'm any good. And it just didn't come to me. It didn't sound like what I expected.
Yeah.
So I just thought I didn't have the talent for it. And what I have learned over time is that, like, actually, a lot of things start where you don't see progress and you basically keep getting Fs. And you have to find some way to reward yourself for the small moments at the beginning of growing into something new. And if you can, you could do it, you could stick with it, then eventually you get the thing that actually brings you the joy. So back to Zoe, my hope for her is that she can play it enough that she can actually play some songs, not that are like what the teachers told her to do, but that she actually likes the sound of. Mm-hmm. And if she can do that, I think there'll be a good chance she can keep going forward with it. And I think it's all very similar. And I guess that's an example of like where in traditional education, certain things actually do require a lot of growth mindset. But how can you find the small wins that add up so that you get on the path towards growing faster? Because the other thing I would say is that a growth mindset can become unbelievably addicting, mm-hmm. where you keep doing things you've never done before. And the rush and the dopamine from that is so strong that it just starts drawing you in to do more and more and more of it, which is where I am at a lot. And I think I hope that people can find that. But it is very uncomfortable, especially if everything else you do, you have like mastery at and you try a new thing. I think it can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely scary and uncomfortable on an individual level. And then on a, company level, especially if someone's been there for a long time and like they are used to doing things a certain way, there is a process. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're scaling. They really have to shift their mindset. So I don't know. I've just been thinking about that a bunch. And for our show in particular, just like, what does that growth look like? Like showing up more on social, experimenting more with our interview format. And I'm like, but we have a brief and we have a deep and we have a lip. Now we're just shooting from the hip.
I would be interested to know, because we've been doing so much more social content.
Right.
And you can tell. And it's actually a great example of this. What episode is this? 108 or something?
This is like 105.
105. We've been making social clips probably for the last like 40, 30.
Yeah, I think like we've been making a certain style of clip in earnest since April. And before that, like the beginning of this year.
Yeah. So it's like we finally have been finding a format that seems to work, which is finding like a small moment that we think is really exciting, really interesting, something educational, something funny, taking that moment, shortening it up with the pace, animating some of the concepts, putting that on social, and that has been working. And if you think about how many episodes and how many social clips we made and how just being in it, doing it with stuff not working and then figuring out how to make it work, we are on this exact path. One thing I think, though, that I've noticed here, and I see this at Wistia all the time, I talk to people about it, is if you have smart people and they stay on a problem for long enough, usually they will break through on like some fundamental thing, like what the mm-hmm. customer needs, what they care about. But the interesting thing is often once you have one breakthrough or two, the breakthroughs often become faster mm-hmm. because people have an instinctual understanding of why it's working. And then you start, when you look through opportunities, you get to better ones faster. And so a thing that's really important, I think, is like staying on it, in part because you gain so much benefit in speed, quality, instinct. And once you're on it, it's working, getting off of it is potentially a huge mistake. And so we often, in our own lives, it can be really hard to do this with something new. And at work, I think if teams are constantly changing and churning, you actually are often stopping this from happening. And so it's like a really a thing I look to a lot is like, can this team stay on it? What's the speed of the progress that they're making? Have they made breakthroughs? Are those breakthroughs accelerating? And ideally, that's where you get to with everything. Although, you know, it takes time and you have to have the space to be able to invest long enough to do it.
Yeah, time is so key. And so many people, myself included, I think you get enough Fs and you're just like, I'm done. I'm over it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't feel encouraged to, you know, do this anymore. And it's kind of going back to finding the small wins, but almost like reframing what a win is. So like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, cool. I'm proud I tried. I'm proud mm-hmm. this looked different from like 50 of our other clips. We got a like, we got a exactly. share. We get, so like, it's, yeah, it's just really fascinating. And it is an ode to patience and experimentation and curiosity, really. So it's all those things.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. Sure is, Sylvie.
I got poetic there. Odes.
You sure did. You're always trying to throw an ode in.
Yeah. Any odes to inbound?
Odes to inbound. Yeah, interesting.
Interesting.
You know, I think it was just like, we talked briefly about this at the beginning, but running and gunning, shooting tons of stuff was so fun.
There was running like, and what did you say?
Running and gunning.
Running and gunning. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we were just like, setups were happening quickly. The guests were so great. That was, I mean, so fun to have these people on the show. Learned a lot. I'm like really pumped for everybody to see the episodes as they come out. And I also think just like it, you know, so much of like the vibes of tech have been online, like pretty negative. And there's a lot of reasons why, like, you know, if you look at the jobs numbers, it's like tech and private industry have shrunk in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So that means there are less people employed by these companies than used to be. There are today less open software engineering positions than there were in 2019. That's shocking.
Bonkers. Is that AI or is that just...
It is like, I think it's a combination. I don't think it's AI yet. I mean, I think AI seems to be adding productivity to folks. We're certainly seeing like a productivity increase. Mm-hmm. But part of it is that like there was so much investment in 2020, 2021, first half of 2022 that I think a lot of people overinvested, overhired.
It's the same thing with podcasts.
Yeah.
Same thing.
No, it's coming back to earth. Interest rates being higher has made it harder to invest in risky things like tech. So it's literally like less money going into the ecosystem, which means there's less people, less jobs, less ideas, less things. And so vibes have not been great, you know, and when I talk to other entrepreneurs, a lot of people are like stressing. And I think one thing that was interesting about inbound for me was that the vibes were actually pretty good.
Yeah, and I wasn't getting the stressed out vibe from anyone.
It was also people were like, yeah, it kind of sucks out there. But like thing I'm doing over here is great. And this is fun. And like it was like finding the sparks within the murkiness that are like actually exciting. And centering around that and what that could be versus being worried about the whole thing. And so that was just nice. It was like really nice to be around a lot of people who are excited, positive, talking about the future in a really good way. Excited. Yeah, just it was great.
I know. It was good energy. It's just really like that sounds so whatever.
Woo woo.
Yeah, it's like vibes, energy, man. But
all it about really, the vibes.
It really was good vibes.
Yeah, it was great. Really fun.
We saw magic tricks.
We did. We saw Matt. We were just delighted. Oh, delighted. The magic was amazing. Oh, my God. That was lovely.
Like absolutely epic, lovely. An epic, two epic card tricks, which blew my mind.
Your reaction to it was incredible.
It's funny because I don't think of myself as someone like, I know you said you love magic.
Yeah.
You love and I'm not someone who like seeks it out in my life. But thinking back, like my dad has always done card tricks like my whole life. And
oh, really?
I freaking love them. And I know how to do one really good one.
Oh.
I gotta do
nice.
It.
Nice.
I gotta do
That's
it.
Awesome. No, I mean it's funny. I mean magic is just a performance, right? And so it's like it's just a different type of thing. It's a show. And a lot of it is like such people working so hard to make something really difficult look really easy. Mm-hmm. There was a trick I had been working on for a while that's like really, really, it's like very obvious and looks very simple and is actually very complex to make it pull it off. And it's funny because when I was working on it a lot, I could do it. People were like, wow. And if I don't keep up with the practice, which I haven't been, then it looks terrible. You could figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And so it's just, yeah, I think it brings a smile to your face. I hope to see more magic. I hope we'll get that person on the show. I think we will.
I think we will.
Yes.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. That was very fun, very good vibes. And I know we're going to do more stuff like that. For people who are still with us, I mean, please let us know what you think of these format changes we're making, the faster episodes that are coming out, other types of guests and topics you want us to cover. We're going to be experimenting and trying more stuff, and we want your feedback. So I think we've talked a lot about the email, where to send it, blah, blah, blah. I think just hit us up on LinkedIn. That's where we're getting the most action these days. You can just DM us on there or comment on something. It'd be very helpful. But I think that's it. I think that's it, Sylvie.
Yeah. And our inbound episodes are coming out twice a week, Thursdays and Fridays for the next 6 weeks. So more content in your feed. We hope you enjoy.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Talking Too Loud is brought to you by Wistia, hosted by Chris Savage, produced by me, Sylvie Lubow, along with Adam Day, executive produced by Wistia Studios. This episode was mixed by Maria Passingham of Edit Audio. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, rate and review us wherever you listen. And check out more content from Wistia Studios at wistia.com.